2020 was a year like no other, and we here at ESPN West Palm were glad we could be here with you through all of the year's ups and downs. Brian McLovin Rhodes takes you through the very best of ESPN West Palm.
Okay, welcome to the show. Because you know every day above ground is a good day. Nope, I'm not Evan Cohen or Josh Cohen. This is Brian McLovin Rhodes, producer of those two fine programs. Help get their voices out each and every day, and we're wrapping up 2020 here on ESPN West Palm. As you know, 2020, a little bit of a weird year, but we were there for you. And we're really glad you guys were there for us. We were able to stay on air all year long talking sports. So now we're going to count down the top 10 moments of this year that had pretty memorable year, pretty memorable moments, and also felt like at least 17 years crammed into one. So we'll start with number 10. If you listen to Josh Cohen and the home team, you know when it comes to characters, there's Dean Thomas and then, well, there's everyone else. So Dean, throughout the year, does his part to tell his stories that typically show up years or months after they originally happened, but he doesn't tell us. So we found out some of those stories this year. First, though, he actually made some news announcing why he's leaving American Top Team.
All right, Dean, we have to get to this. So sitting yesterday afternoon, I get on Twitter, I'm sitting on my couch, and I see the news from a reputable MMA site. They break news all the time that announces, its main headline is Dean Thomas announces he's parting ways with American Top Team, plans to groom fighters elsewhere. So this is a shock to me. And I knew that this was something was up last week when Josh asked you off the air, hey, do you want to talk about your news? And you guys decided it would happen today instead of Friday when you were ready to talk about it then. But it's now public. You're no longer with American Top Team?
That is right.
So you have spent most of your professional life with American Top Team.
19 years.
As a fighter and then as a coach.
Yep. And a school owner.
And a school owner up in the Treasure Coast. Multiple schools, who then relocated to the main gym in Coconut Creek. Mm-hmm. American Top Team, who is the top gym, the top training facility in all of MMA. Countless champions, including the best in the UFC. You made a name for yourself, two times nominated MMA Coach of the Year under the American Top Team umbrella, and you're just leaving now.
Yep.
So how did this come about? Why? What were the circumstances? What now? Like, what's next for you? Because we used to be able to brag that you were part of American Top Team, and now we can't do that anymore, so I'm not sure how to frame it to people.
Well, I'm a radio guy, as you guys know.
as you guys already recognize,
I'm a radio guy. No, man, I'm still going to coach, but I want to be able to coach on my own terms.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the way I work with Tyron is we put in work daily.
Okay.
Every day. And that's how I create good people.
Okay.
The fact that I have multiple people, I can't do that with anybody.
So really, you're sort of going to be a freelance coach.
Yeah.
That's your plan.
That's my plan. But I'm going to have some that I'm just going to work with specifically to build them.
Okay.
To create champions.
That's good stuff. Good. Again, Dean, like, that's hard to do.
Because my thing is this, man. Like, if I'm not happy, I'm not showing up.
Sure.
That's me. Sure. If I'm not happy, like, if I didn't like coming here to work every day, I would not come. I'd just say, hey, man, I ain't coming. And I wouldn't even tell you. I probably just would stop coming.
Well, you
and then
do.
Y'all get the email.
That is your thing with the peace sign and the
peace
heart.
Sign. Yeah, yeah. Peace. But, like, that's my thing. Like, I have to be happy, and that's more important than money to me, just being happy.
Then, Dean being Dean. We're talking a lot about tanking in sports and teams trying to lose on purpose, but what if you're the one trying to lose and you can't actually lose? That, of course, the situation that Dean was a part of.
Can we put to bed the tanking, the coaches or players would tank intentionally?
You can be bad without tanking. Tanking happens in the front office.
Dean, you ever know anybody that lost a fight on purpose and rigged a fight because they were going to, you know, with gambling and organized crime and such?
No, I never knew anybody who did that.
You ever accused? You ever, like, there was whispers about somebody?
There was, remember?
Because in boxing, it happens all the time.
No, but you remember the time with the dude in Korea? I was with that guy in Korea where his opponent was supposed
What do you mean? What do you mean? First of all, we don't need to know about your sex life. We're talking about fighting. Yeah. And we're talking about
Josh asked you about fighting.
Fixing.
No,
I was with that guy.
No, listen.
I'm very happy for you. And you live your life. You live your truth. Good for you.
A good exotic location, like fun.
But this is a different time.
Korea is so exotic. Exotic Korea. Lover's paradise. North Korea.
Romance capital of the world.
Do you remember? It was like the biggest swing in the gambling history of like MMA fights. It was with Leo Kuntz, and I was with Leo Kuntz.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the underdog. Right. But then like in like a 24-hour period, he became like the heavy favorite. So they started investigating into that.
Because this dude was going to take a dive.
Yeah, that's what they thought.
His opponent.
And the dude actually went to jail for that.
For rigging a fight.
Sure. But he didn't. Which was weird because
you can't
he still won the fight.
So
he tried to lose and still won.
Really?
How bad is your friend?
Yes, sir. I know, that's what I said.
How bad is
Wait, hold on. Time out. Hold on. Just hold on. One second.
What the hell did you say?
Let me just hold on. Hold on.
This was earlier in my coaching career.
All right, hold on. We got a question. We got a question here.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Something ain't right.
We got a question here. So you're telling us that you have a friend,
uh-huh,
and he was the underdog in a fight.
Yeah.
And then the fight was fixed and his opponent was going to lose the fight on purpose. And his opponent became a huge favorite.
Yeah. I have some of the numbers.
You know which one I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I looked up the name. Yeah. So multiple South Korean news outlets have reported that Bang is under investigation after a $1.7 million bet was placed on him to lose the night of the fight. According to reports, Bang accepted a bribe of almost $90,000 and bet half of it on his opponent.
Okay. So everything's lined up for him to lose the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to prison. And you're telling me he still won the fight. He still won.
He still won the fight.
So how bad is your friend at fighting?
Man, he was actually pretty good, though. But you know why he was... He's from North Dakota. That's the problem.
I don't care how if you're trying to lose a fight, how do you knock? It's so easy to lose a fight.
Right.
It's so easy to lose a fight.
You take one punch.
Give up your back.
Well, do you know that was the worst thing?
I choked out.
I know. Well,
tap quick.
My guy had his back and everything and couldn't finish the choke. But I
thought you were coaching
what
this
I think,
guy.
What I think happened.
Time out. Were you coaching?
I was.
Oh my God, Dean.
No, what I think happened. No, wait, hold on.
What the hell did you say?
What I think happened.
You left out a huge part of this story.
I told you I was with him. I coached him for the fight.
Why have we never heard this till right now?
Because you know how I operate. I don't tell y'all stories until it's 2 years too late.
Number 9 on the list earlier in this year, and again, somehow this was this year, we had the luxury of moving down to Miami and being part of Radio Row all week long as the Super Bowl took over South Beach, and we had some fun guests. We had some plenty of people roll through as we did our part to try and localize as much as possible. Here's our conversation with some of those guests from Radio Row earlier in 2020.
Joined right now by the hometown kid, one of the best. I think Mount Rushmore of Palm Beach County athletes ever. my new boy who I become friends with, Santonio Holmes, may have an issue with that. But here he is, Anquan Boldin, joining us. Anquan, Evan Cohen, good to see you again.
How you doing, man?
I'm good. When you think about the best that ever did it in Palm Beach County, football-wise, who has to be in the top five? I know you're a ridiculous basketball player, but who has to be in the top five football-wise, all time?
All time?
Yeah. I'm putting you on the spot right off the jump.
Man. That's a hard come.
Wait, are you trying not to mess up your hair? Is that what's going on here? Are you trying to avoid?
No, I just think people look like dorks when they had that joint. Like,
I just look like a dork no matter what. There's no look I could have where I'm not going to look like a dork. So, you know what? Hold on. I'm going to do it.
There you go.
I look cool now?
Now you look like you got swag.
I don't have any swag. There's no swag. There's no part of me.
But you can appear.
No, I don't appear like I still have a tucked in button down with a little belly hanging over. There's no part of me that appears like I have
swag.
Well,
we're going to get you untucked when we're done. When you're done with me.
Okay. You're going to be my new trainer?
Ready for South Beach.
By the way, there's too much work done here. I have to hold this. I can't actually do this. I have to go back. All right, here we go. So who has to be top five all-time Palm Beach County football players?
See, I think that's you can't do that.
Oh, number stop one. It. Just no,
listen,
no names
listen,
out there.
Listen to what I'm saying. You can't do that, number one, because I didn't see
Ricky
lot
Jackson.
Of it. Yeah. Okay. So it's unfair. Like, I think the earliest I can go back is probably like 89 with like Kevin Bowie.
Okay.
And then there's also the fact of like there's a little bias when you're talking about
Pahokee versus Muck, Glade Central.
The,
yeah.
No, not even that. Just
oh,
the Muck period.
Other.
So like I can when we're talking about like Palm Beach County, like there's a lot of guys that have come through Palm Beach County that were tremendous players. You know what I'm saying? I think about guys that I play against like Vinny Sutherland, Micah Mays.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Guys like that.
Abe.
Like
Elam. Yeah.
Yeah, and I played 4 years of varsity. So there's
a quarterback.
Yeah, and there's a little guys that I played with like my freshman year. Like, guys I played against when I was a senior probably don't even know all right, about those guys.
But this guy, our guest right now, I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he keeps
he's
the energy.
On the move
I don't know how he does it. The president of the UFC, Dana White, joins us live on the home team.
What's
by
up,
way,
boys?
Nice
how
to see you. This company of yours, our co-host daily is Dean Thomas,
yep.
Who is your co-star on the
My
TV
very
show.
My good friend,
yes. And why you chose him, we understand.
Right.
Because he's not
awesome.
Right in the head.
He's awesome.
Everybody loves Dean.
He does everything on the show.
He's a little off.
He's your stunt boy.
He doesn't say no to anything.
He's your stunt boy.
He's a stunt boy.
Whatever Dana says, I ain't doing that. And Dean's like, fine, I'll do this. Masvidal sat here the other day and said that they were on a trip together years ago. He said, like, 7 passports fell out of Dean's bag and a little GoldenEye gun.
Right.
Like he's a James Bond kind of spy. In your travels, is there a Dean story that didn't make it on air? I mean, you've known the guy since 2000, right?
Yeah, I don't think there's a story that didn't make it on air. But my favorite one is, you know, we were going to the most haunted house in America, which was in San Diego. And apparently all these people were, you know, they were hung there and all this stuff. And Dean was terrified to go do this show, man. He's like... Black people always get killed not houses. the whole deal. But and he wasn't trying to be funny. He was dead serious. And then he starts making the phone calls. I don't want to do this one. I don't like this. You know, this is I'm not into this whole ghost thing.
Who's he calling? He's not calling you.
Yeah, he's calling me.
He said, I don't want to do this.
Me and the producer telling us he doesn't want to do this.
At least he didn't fake sick. But go ahead.
Then he shows up dressed as Blade. Matt Sarah called him Blade without a budget.
Budgetless Blade.
Oh, my God.
It all goes back to Dean Thomas.
I'm telling you, to be able to travel the world and see all these cool cities and go to fights with these two guys, Matt and Dean, is one of the funnest things that I do.
And it's kind of like you're the single dad and you've got
so
the unruly kids.
It's
and
so
you've got
true.
Like kids keep it between the uprights.
Devin Motor Singletary, welcome to the home team.
What's going on?
Congratulations on your success in the league. These guys have been rooting for you since long before you went, obviously, as the broadcast team once upon a time, and Kent Still of FAU. A lot of support from these guys.
Definitely, definitely. You know, that's home team support, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They always have my back.
Yeah.
I love them for that.
Your size was an issue. Coming into the draft for some people. I'm not exactly sure why, and one of those people was Dean Thomas.
Well, you know, I'm sizing him up. You know what I mean? I'm looking at him now like, let's see what's happening.
So you thought Devin Singletary too small to play running back on the regular in the NFL, Dean Thomas.
Yeah, I thought that.
Uh-huh. And how has your opinion changed?
Well, he was the player of the year or something like that, right? I don't watch no football. How am I supposed to know what happened?
He's an MMA guy.
MMA guy. I don't know why. Why do they question that?
I don't know. I mean, I say I'm not really small. I'm just short. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I guess because of my height. But as you see in the game, it's plenty of short running backs that don't have plenty of success, so I don't know why.
What was the biggest difference for you from playing Saturdays to Sunday? What's the first thing you noticed? The speed of the game? How fast everybody moves?
Definitely, you know, the speed of the game is definitely a little faster. But once you get adjusted to it, it's still football at the end of the day.
Devin Singletary joining us live on the home team from Radio Row. Of course, FAU legend, Buffalo Bills star this year, and had a tremendous playoff game as well in Houston.
Yeah.
Kenny?
All right, so I just need to, for a moment, I need to take this in because this is a kid, now a man, that I covered in high school at American Heritage.
He don't know your name. Don't worry about it. He don't know your name.
I called every one of his touchdowns in college.
Yep.
His breakout touchdown his freshman year in Houston against Rice. It was a 55-yard touchdown run. And then from there, I called touchdown FAU 32 times in his sophomore year. He could have won Offensive Player of the Year again his junior year, but everybody was anti-FAU after they won the championship in 2017. But to see him here after what it could be a Offensive Rookie of the Year season in Buffalo. This is a guy who's established himself, and he's here with us on Radio Row at the Super Bowl.
You got tears in your eyes.
I am legit so proud of this guy. It is unbelievable. Appreciate it.
Ken, give him a hug.
I will afterwards. Devin, we got to talk.
After all of that, what Ken just said, any party you want to file a restraining order?
Yeah. No, definitely not, man. That's love right there.
When you come back home now, the kids look at you differently. They're seeing you playing on Sundays and on national TV and in the playoffs. How has your life changed from leaving FAU to finishing your first season in the National Football League?
It's definitely changed in many ways, you know, for the better, for sure. But like you said, just going different places, you know, you can't just kind of blend in how you want to all the time. You know, people notice you. So, you know, that's been fun, though. You know, it's been fun interacting with different people, just seeing how much love they got for, you know, doing what you do. And then as far as the NFL, man, I love every second of it.
At number eight, these shows, well, we don't exactly stick to sports. We're a little bit all over the place, and sometimes that leads to some random happenings, such as Evan Cohen's never received a massage, so how about we do it on air, which we did at the Honda Classic.
Well, it's been a fun day here at the Honda, and what we're going to do now is, so I have actually never had a massage of any kind in my entire life. Ever.
That is shocking.
Ever in my life. So, McLovin,
how is that possible?
We have set this up. Uh-huh. And this is going to be amazing. We're going to actually do the show while I'm getting a massage. So what exactly have you set up? Because this is tremendous what's going on here.
Well, what I've actually set up, because I want to make sure to enjoy the benefits also, is a couples massage. So
You two are getting a couples massage?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, you're getting it too?
Yeah, why
nice.
Not?
Okay, go
so
ahead.
So we have the massage chairs here courtesy of Matago, because yesterday we talked about it and we were telling people the joy and the benefit of Matago is they come to you. They bring the masseuse to you.
Right.
So they brought it to us here on the 10th tee. They're set up back on the course.
Right.
They literally are here with two chairs right now. And,
okay.
And
so we're gonna get do the show while getting a massage.
Yeah.
Ken, can you do the play-by-play of this?
So
Evan is now on this massage chair, and he has his back to me right now.
Right.
He's about to put his face into this.
Hey, how you guys
donut
doing?
This will be the fun part where we have to adjust the microphone.
Right. So Evan is now leaning forward. You're gonna have to.
So humongous.
We're trying to adjust the donut so Evan can still talk into a microphone, and I don't know how this is going to work.
I'm almost as big as Adam, who does the marketing and stuff for this.
Wow.
A friend that he saw today. Anyway, go ahead. So
here we go. My mic is in my mouth.
It is definitely.
Here we go.
All right. So Evan now has his face in the donut.
This feels weird.
Where do you feel stressed? Evan, where do you feel stressed?
I feel uncomfortable. Oh, yeah. Oh, boy.
So right now we've got two hands down the spine.
Oh, yeah.
So I can see why Evan never got a massage, because he just, relax. You don't have to groan and grunt or anything.
Well, the problem is, I'm going to tell you what's really going on here.
Yeah, he can't hear you at all.
The masseuse is doing a tremendous job.
Not you, Evan. You're good.
The problem is, I feel like my love handles are hanging over, and I'm very self-conscious
of
that.
You're wearing a sweater.
Right, I know. Adam, you know what I'm talking about.
So wait. Also, too, can I get the name of the masseuse?
Yes, we should
just
get her name.
Just so we can show respect.
Yeah.
Larissa.
Okay.
Yes.
Are a lot of people watching me right now, McLovin?
Actually, there's a couple.
There's
but the coasters keep moving.
Yeah.
It's what the Honda is.
Okay.
Right now, Larissa is working the shoulder area.
Yeah, I got to relax more, right, Larissa?
Yeah, the right shoulder. Yeah, she says you're a little tight up there.
Yeah.
Evan. Yeah, Evan keeps talking to her, but he can't hear her. He has headphones on.
That's right.
That's the point, right. So that is really
Ken doesn't know what to say.
No, he doesn't.
There's going to be no muscles there. You're on my arms right now. There's nothing there.
So now we're working a little rotator cuff area.
Yeah, that'll be good for my pitching.
Shoulder. Yeah, exactly.
Don't worry, I mean, Uncle John's here, so all is better now.
Hey, how are you, Johnny?
And now a little upper arm.
He didn't know where you were.
We're working on the right arm.
Yeah, that's Evan.
A little upper arm action, looking like a tricep.
Down
into the lats. That lat area for Evan.
We do get into some X's and O's, and Josh Cronin and the home team wanted to do their part to help future NFL scouts by, calling a Super Bowl champion, a national champion, a Bryant McKinney, and talking about conjoined twins playing on the offensive line.
Brian McKinney, seventh pick of the 2002 draft, joining us live on the home team. Friend of ours, a former guest co-host of ours. This isn't even why we called you. We had a question. We had a football question.
Yeah, wait till you hear this,
so,
Brian.
So, Brian, we know, you know, B-Mac, we know that there's twins in the league. The McCourty twins are still playing the league. But B-Mac, hear us out on this, okay? Just hear us out. I questioned, what's if you had conjoined twin boys, right? So, like, they used to call it Siamese twins. Now it's more politically correct, conjoined twins. And you raise them to be an offensive lineman. Could both of them just play as a guard or tackle and take up one roster spot? Or would the league be like, no, that's two of you, takes up two spots?
Because they have two different heartbeats, so... Ooh, it would definitely be two different people.
What if they share a heart? Ken brought that up earlier.
Yeah, what if they share a heart,
What
Brian?
If they share a heart, but they have two heads? Can one of them play like with a helmet, and the other one's got to sit it out?
Well, it's just the fact that they have to put two helmets on two different individuals, that's going to take up two roster spots.
Well, Josh wants the second one not to wear a helmet but be on the field.
Yeah, because...
I was just trying to make this one.
Well, no, because the league may be like, look at 53 men, you know, it's 11 men on the field, you can't have 12 here.
Right.
And you say, look, we're sharing a heart, it's one heart, it's two heads.
I mean, you have two different names on the roster, so they're going to be two different people.
But what if there's one heart? That means one person, there's two heads, and the league goes, all right, one of you just can't wear a helmet, and if the ball gets batted, you can't touch it, or it's illegal touching.
Oh.
That's a lot of work for the other person who's like wearing the helmet and throwing all the work carrying the other person.
It's brotherhood. It's brotherhood.
And it does tie into the draft, because what if one's graded a sixth round pick and the other's graded like a second round pick? This is, we found a loophole with the NFL. Brother,
you got to average it out.
Brian, what if you had a twin brother that was just, your left shoulder was connected to his shoulder and you guys were side by side? You know, like when you take paper and scissors and you cut those, the paper dolls, mm-hmm. that are all joined? What if you had a twin?
Yeah, but that's not going to be able to happen.
But how unstoppable would you have been with a twin brother conjoined to you?
Not conjoined. We had to have surgery and get separated because there's no way that.
See, now you're ruining.
Two defensive linemen will go two separate ways. It makes us like realize we can only go one direction.
Yeah, that's a good point, because we were talking about how dominant you would be, but then Brian did bring up the point. Like, yeah, you could just blitz the linebacker from the outside and you're done.
At number seven, J-Mart, one of a kind, one of the longest voices you've heard here on ESPN West Palm, going back with Evan. He still comes on and picks up hobbies here and there, such as trading sports cars with nine-year-olds.
So J-Mart is here. We are going to do Gold Paper Sinus, Who Knows Best with him, right, McLovin, in just a couple of minutes?
Yep.
And he joins us, Sean Martin, a part of our ESPN 106.3 team, and you've heard him on with us forever. Hello, J-Mart.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. J-Mart, who's Parker Frederiking?
Who's what?
Who is Parker Frederiking?
Oh, you know what? That's actually a little kid that I made a football/basketball trade with recently.
Okay, you collect basketball and football and baseball cards. This kid is how old?
I'm actually not sure. It's really mainly I deal with his dad. I think he's like 9 or 10.
A 9-year-old, and he lives where?
Oh, shoot, I can't, like Michigan maybe?
No, that's Wichita, Kansas. Why is it that you are in communication with a 9-year-old boy in Wichita, Kansas? Can you explain this to me?
Because you know, there's a you know, like there's Heat Twitter. There's also Card Twitter. And in the Card Twitter world, you end up knowing people from all over the country, and you make trades and whatever. So I picked up some Ja Morant cards from him and sent them some... A couple of Patrick Mahomes and some minor cards, nothing big.
You wrote this kid, the 9-year-old boy in Kansas, a letter. You sent him basketball and football cards. And as part of Card Twitter, this trade you made, how much did you pay Stephanie Prince, Steve Policino, and ESPN West Palm for the koozie that you sent them?
75 cents.
Are you paid, Steve and Stephanie, 75 cents for this koozie? That you sent a station koozie, an ESPN West Palm koozie, to a 9-year-old boy in Kansas that you're trading cards with?
No, I had one in my house that I've had for years. And
a used koozie.
I thought it would be nice.
Oh, how nice.
A Herb Yuzie. You have a used koozie is what you just sent this kid.
To be fair, I had it, but I didn't really. I'm not a big drinker, so it didn't get much use. So that's why I was okay sending it.
We also learned from Jamar that he has some memory issues, but we might have cracked the code this year on how Jamar can do a better job at remembering things. These limited interactions, like right now, like, is it because you're so focused on what your questions are and you're afraid you're going to forget them?
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure.
Wait, do you have your questions written down or no?
Yes.
But so you think if you talk to me, when like McLovin's right there, it's not limited interactions. It's limited response.
Right.
It's like, do you think if you respond to me / us, that you will forget what's written down in front of you?
Well, yeah, forgetting what you have written down in front of you is a difficult task. However, I believe I'm up to it.
No, but seriously, are you distracted? Are you watching your son? Is your wife yelling at you? Are you driving?
No.
Are you in the middle of another call? Like, is something, did we catch you at a bad time? Like, are you okay?
I am, yeah, I'm perfectly okay. I'm walking around my yard. Everything is great. I don't understand what the issue is.
Oh, so you're walking and have the piece of paper in front of you. Do you have earpieces in, or are you holding the phone?
I'm holding the phone.
Ah, that's
it. My two AirPods don't work very well.
Yeah, walking, holding a phone, responding, and reading for him.
Right.
That's like three too many things.
Noted.
Is there somewhere that maybe you could sit? Is that possible?
Yeah, for sure. I can definitely
sit. And you think maybe you'd have better responses if you sit?
I mean, I don't know about that.
How can you argue that buying and selling basketball cards is not a form of gambling?
Well, I mean, I guess it is if you consider, like, the stock market gambling.
Ask him, McLovin.
Damon, are you sitting?
No. Damn it. I keep forgetting. All right, I'm sitting there.
Are you being serious, or are you doing this as a bit? Are you honestly forgetting that you're supposed to sit down because your thought process is clear?
Yeah, I keep forgetting, and because my natural urge is to stand up. So,
but
every
this
time
is
I stop,
four times, I believe, in less than 10 minutes that you forgot.
Oh yeah, for sure. We can probably go for 8 if we talk for 20.
We also got a peek inside Jamar's life and just some of the things he's allowed and not allowed to do and the pressure it takes in grocery shopping when you're Jamar.
So I've been going to the grocery store and I get this list from my wife on it's literally on handwritten list, right? Which I prefer because I wear gloves and the mask. And so if I have to take out my phone too much, I kind of don't love that. So having the list is good. But I don't bring a pen. So I have to reread this list 1,000 times, and obviously I'm not trying to go to the grocery store as much as I used to, where I would go on the way home, or like I would go probably multiple times a week because it's like something to do and you buy it in like, you know, 2 or 3 things here. Now I'm buying like hundreds of dollars worth of stuff because I try to spread it out, but I don't bring the pen. How do you do the list? Because I assume with you, Jamar, specifically, if you forget anything from the grocery store, that Lorena Bobbitt is there when you get home.
Oh, World War III. we've done both. I do typically do the phone, which I know is not the greatest, but I typically use the phone. And if because the same thing what you're saying, when I take paper, I never remember to bring a pen. So you have to sit there and read it. Oh, and I have the worst memory.
It takes
forever if it's a written list.
So you do it for the phone, and then do you erase it like on your notes on the phone? Like you have it on your iPhone, and then you'll erase it when you're like, oh, okay, I got the milk, and I'll erase it. And so you'll just have like an elimination of each one? Interesting.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, if you... how many things are on your list right now, would you say, roughly?
I actually don't even have it yet. I'm waiting for it to be texted to me.
Oh, I've done that.
I know.
Yeah. I have totally done that, where you're like, I'm going now because it's good for my schedule. You just text me the list. But then here's the other problem. Sometimes it doesn't come in quickly. It goes horizontally across on the text message, and then it's like, hey, wait a minute. I said I wanted this kind of – and you're like, wait, oh, I didn't even realize it was on the line before, and I screw up that. Like, I don't realize where the commas are. It's very tricky in that regard. But, yes, go ahead. What were you saying? This is very important information here from John Martin.
In terms of that, I think it's because your wife gives you more credit than mine gives me. Mine, she is very calculated in terms of each item gets its own line, because she knows if she gives me any excuse to screw it up, I will do that.
At number six, well, there's Ken Lavica. Ken, part of the home team, every day 3 to 5. You hear him on Evan 5 to 6 as well. And Ken does his part to be memorable, and one of those experiences being part of the 5 to 6 show, one of our favorite contests of the year, the Corona Cash. We wanted to give you people, you fans, plenty of cash, but that was a little too overwhelming for Ken. Ken, if you could, can I get you for a second here, Ken Lavica? Please, just, I know you're screening calls. Can you just put them on hold for 1 second, if you could, and let me know when you're ready? Because I do need to ask you something.
Hey, buddy.
Just, you know, a lot of times now we're learning about, and doing this job, a dazzling detail, right? Like, it's great to give the audience the details of what's going on. Can you just really, as precise as you can, walk everyone through, not about the Corona Cash, because I know you're on board with the fact that we're giving out $250 to someone. That you're on board with, I know that. And I know you're thankful for Corona Cash and what we're doing here. That, I understand that. Everybody else understands that. Walk me through your frustration with your job, career, and life right now, and this assignment you have gotten, where the phones will not stop for a full hour, and you won't even be able to talk on the show except for right now when I'm asking you to do this. Walk us through all of this.
Yeah, I treasure attention and people listening to me, and this definitely is not that, because what I am doing right now, and what I suspected was going to happen when I found out that this was actually taking place at 2:58 p.m. yesterday, as I was about to go on the air and host Josh Cohen and the home team, I had a feeling that it was just going to be nonstop phone calls. And that is exactly, I cannot remember the last time we have had phone lines lit up with absolutely no way to stop have it them. Let up. It's not going to stop. It's a cascade of blinking red lights in front of me right now. And it's not just that, oh, I'll get their first name and where they're from, like a typical show when they want to give an opinion. This is first name, last name, phone number, trying to make sure that I don't screw that up, because God forbid we have someone win the $250 and I wrote a number wrong in their phone number and we can't get a hold of them. So it's not only that it's nonstop calls, it's pressure packed as well. And I don't get to talk.
This is going splendidly. We are really rolling right now. Really, really rolling. So I feel like we're going to have some new names in just a moment here.
I got one here. All right, Luke and you know what? How about this? We should probably do a cutoff time. Right? We should probably do the cutoff.
Oh, no. You might as well. We might as well just roll through the next 35 minutes with this.
Luke in Lake Worth. Go ahead, Luke. Uncle Luke, are you there?
Oh, hold on. Luke. I think it was the wrong guy. Hold on. There we go.
Luke.
You got me?
Yep.
Yes, go ahead, Luke.
We also, Ken likes to talk a lot about his buddy Adam Amin. You might see him on Fox. You've seen him on ESPN in the past. We had Adam on this year, so of course we had to grill him a little bit about his relationship with the Lavica family.
Now we get to go and bring on a special guest who everyone has watched and listened to via the ESPN networks, really since 2011. Is such a versatile talent.
Yes.
Really, truly one of the great rising stars out of Bristol that can do almost virtually anything. Kind of like a rich man's Ken.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a wealthy, wealthy man's Ken. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Like if
he is Dr. Pepper, then Ken is Dr. Thunder.
Yeah. Ken, how uncomfortable are you right now?
I'm not uncomfortable because I am unbelievably proud of the guy we're about to talk
to. Ken has told us for years, I taught him everything. I showed him everything. All of his success he owes to me. And
that
I know who we're talking about.
That is not
goes, Adam
what
Amin. He goes, without me, none of this would have been possible.
I just recommended he go to a fine institution, and he took it from there.
All right, so we have even money right now online. Right now it's minus 110 either way that he remembers you.
Yeah. Yeah. I am the little people now.
Because don't forget, Super Bowl Radio Row, Devin Singletary did not remember your name.
And remember, hey, and remember Ken said before we got on, he said, why you ain't just give me, I would have called him and told him to come on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ken.
Yeah, a little name
drop. And I bet he don't even remember you.
Yeah. He may not. Adam Amin may not remember you.
He changed his number anyway.
When I saw Adam on the guest list today, I was like, huh, that's curious.
Let's go to the Metro by T-Mobile hotlines and welcome in the finest alumnus of Valparaiso University. Ken, you have to agree.
That's true. That's true. I can't argue.
Adam Amin, who I don't, do you accept Ken as a mentor in any way? Do you publicly accept that?
I want to keep the bit going. I badly do. I know you're supposed to yes and it. I loved every moment of that intro, especially the moments where we rail on Ken. I would be remiss if I said a negative word about Ken publicly or privately, and I certainly wouldn't do either one.
Wow.
Because his mom was my preschool teacher.
That's why.
I can't say a bad word about him, whether in jest or not, because I would just feel like the specter of Ken's mother.
Yeah, you'd be defying Joyce. You'd be defying Joyce.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know you could whoop him, right?
I would be. Greg would be very upset.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
We don't want that.
Amanda would kill me. Joyce would just turn her back on me at that point. I would be shunned, and that would be far worse than anything that Ken could possibly come up with as a punishment. If his mother turned her back on me,
that's right.
That would rip my soul out.
Then there's Ken making great points. Yeah, sometimes he has them, and sometimes, well, they were made by someone in the room on air with us, which Ken did in 2020, probably more than once.
Major League Baseball has come out with its second cheating scandal punishment. We all know by this point what happened to the Houston Astros. The Boston Red Sox get theirs today. Video replay system operator JT Watkins suspended without pay for 1 year, and also, the Red Sox are stripped of their second-round pick this coming MLB season.
Red Sox punishment comes down at a time in which no one's paying attention.
Right.
And no one really cares.
And boy, is that underwhelming.
They should have just done it tomorrow night during the first round.
Just drop it with a big red breaking news.
They're like, okay, fine, whatever. Who are the Dolphins picking?
You got to love, too, another Boston team just pawns off the blame on some, like, side staffer like the Patriots did.
That's a good point, Ken.
Ken.
Yeah.
I'm waiting to share my point that I apparently made a mistake of sharing with you during the last commercial break.
I figured we might as well get to it. You brought it up in a commercial break, and I thought it was good, so I've presented it to the world.
So let me present it myself. Thank you for ruining. Yeah. Once again, organizations, Tom Brady, Deflategate, balls had air taken out at the direction order of Tom Brady, who was angry. Lower level employees did what they were told or risk losing their jobs. They get the blame. They get punished. Here, same situation. Because bleep rolls downhill. You gotta have fall guys. So that's what happened once again here.
Who did it better, me or Josh?
Well, I had to change mine because I wasn't going to repeat what you said, even though you repeated what I said the first time. Jackass.
That was sort of a jerk move on my part.
Why don't you come up with your own stuff? You know what? I'm just not going to talk to you during the break. From now on, I'm only speaking to you when we're on the air, so you have to come up with your own takes.
My own original content? It should be flattering for you.
It is when you say Josh made a great point. Josh, you said what? Isn't this what you said? Then it is. Still, the most infuriating is when you try and teach me something that I actually taught you.
Number five, Radio Row wasn't the only place we had big-time guests this year. We had some names that were pretty familiar with this area. Here's a look back at some of those conversations with legends such as Jack Nicklaus, Kenny G, and the Bachelor's own Tyler Cameron.
So Jack Nicklaus during the quarantine has gotten better at what? What have you done that you're like, wow, I didn't think I was going to get better at this, but because I'm stuck here, I'm actually better at this.
I'm better at watching television. I never used to watch much television. I watched a lot of television. Never watched one of those TV series in my life. And
All right, so you're talking about some of these memories. Do you remember what happened on this day in 1962, June 17th, 1962? Do you remember that?
Well, I guess that was Father's Day, and it just happened to be the last day of the U.S. Open that I won at Oakmont.
And what do you remember about the playoff against Arnie?
Well, I got off to I recall a pretty good start. I birdied the first three holes, and Arnie, I had him by two or three going to nine. He birdied nine. Then I birdied 12. And we got to 13, and a very interesting thing happened. Back in those days, both Arnie and I smoked, and we smoked on the golf course. And on December 8th, I got the film of the U.S. Open. That's how long it took us to get films in those days.
Wow.
What went on? Anyway, I got the film of the U.S. Open, on the 13th hole, par 3, I hit it at about 35 feet. And I hit a putt, reached down, picked up my cigarette, had it hanging out my mouth, and tapped in my putt. And that was in the film. And I said, wow, is that a horrible example for youth? And I've never smoked another cigarette on a golf course since. I smoked a few years after that. I was a recreational smoker, but I never smoked in public. And I just thought that was, of course, I haven't smoked now for, I don't know, 40 years or more. And so, but it was an eye opener for me to see what we look like. And then I went on and ended up winning the playoff. I had a 2-shot lead going to the 18th hole. And I actually drove at the edge of the rough, but Arnold drove in the fairway, but he hit a fat second shot. And when he did that, I laid my second shot up to make sure I wasn't going to make any more than 5. And Arnold ended up making, I think, 6 or whatever it was. I made 5 and won 71-74.
I can't help but think about the fact that if that video doesn't come through or they don't get that shot of you, you may still be smoking to this day for all you know. I mean, right? Like, if that lasting image was so impactful for you.
Well, I might have, but I don't think so. I think that I would have gotten a little smarter as time went on. And, because of that, I never smoked around my kids. None of my kids ever smoked. It's a dirty habit. And it's one that none of my grandkids or my kids ever took up. So I'm glad I got rid of it before they had a chance to see me.
Joining us now, he is legendary in so many ways. And he was nice enough at the Honda Classic 2 years ago while walking by. And I said, hey, Kenny G, come join us. And he stopped what he was doing, sat down with us for a good 25 minutes while the crowd gathered. And then was nice enough to shake hands and take pictures of all of them as well. Kenny G joins us live on the home team on ESPN 106.3. Kenny, how are you, sir?
I'm fine.
Yeah!
Yes.
Kenny, you feel better? Look at that!
Oh, that is all I wanted from Kenny G is to hear that. That is excellent. Thank you.
Kenny, our boy Ken's had a long day. He woke up in South Florida this morning. He spilled water all over his crotch. Then he had to get through TSA with wet pants, and then he had to travel to Dallas. So Ken's had a long day, and all he wanted was for you to serenade him. We didn't even have to ask.
Yeah, sorry about that travel. I mean, it's harder now with trying to keep your hands clean. It's really hard all day long.
Yeah.
I know, and all I do is touch my face all the time, too, and they say I can't do that anymore.
All right, you too.
No, well, why don't you maybe touch other areas if you need to.
Yeah! Kenny G returns to the gorgeous Kravitz Center tonight with one show, 7:30 p.m. I'm not sure if any tickets remain, but if a few do, go to kravis.org and grab them as quickly as you can. Well, now, the last time that you had joined us, it was by chance because you were walking by the Honda Classic. We were broadcasting live at the turn for the 10th hole. And I said, Kenny G, you were in Barry White's band, and you look shocked that I knew that. Why were you so surprised, and how often does that come up?
Well, it doesn't come up very often on a golf course, and that's why I was surprised. But, yeah, I mean, I would be surprised that people know that, because they don't know that much about my history. That was in the 70s.
Yeah, but you were a high school kid, is that right? Were you like 17 or 18 and you were playing in this baby-making music band that was Barry White?
Exactly true. That is all true.
That's crazy. I mean, think about that.
I know.
At night, you're playing in this band. And by the way, you know, you probably stood out from the other members of the band. You're a 17-year-old white Jewish kid from Washington, right? Things, you know, you're a little different.
Yeah, obviously, yes. Yeah, 17 and white would stand out in Barry White's band, sure. Of course.
Kenny G joining us live on the home team. You've worked with, I'm looking through here, you've worked with so many artists I never even realized that you've worked with. You've worked with everyone from Celine Dion to the Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince, a.k.a. Will Smith, to Frank Sinatra. All these are correct?
Yep, they're all right.
What was it like to collaborate with Frank Sinatra?
Well, actually, I just got the tape. It was a tape back then in the mail.
All right.
I put it up in my studio. I played along to it, and I sent it back. And that was pretty much the whole thing. I never was in the studio with him. I've met him a couple of times at different parties, but I don't think he had any idea that I was on his record. I think he was just oblivious to everything.
Fair enough. And did he say anything like, "Hey, kid, get a haircut"? He was that kind of guy, right?
No. Don Rickles told me that. He said I should get a haircut. He says I'm making a fool out of myself.
Next guest is a local product. He's a Jupiter football star who went on and played a little bit at Wake Forest and then at your school, the Florida Atlantic University.
That's right.
Yeah.
Just an outstanding tight end.
Recently, he's gone on to superstardom globally as one of the stars of The Bachelorette season 15.
I just want to say the last time I talked to this man in person, he was not yet a sex symbol, so I'm not sure what he's going to be like.
See, that's the mistake you made, because he's always been a sex symbol.
True.
You didn't have to share it with the world.
That's true.
Now you have to share.
I know.
Tyler Cameron joins us on the home team on ESPN 106.3. Tyler, how are you, young man?
I'm good, man. If my crop top wasn't a sex symbol back in the day, then I don't know what is.
That's what I'm saying. Now, Tyler, when did you realize that you had a very cool name? Because let's be honest, it's easy to be an international sex symbol and the coolest kid in school when your name is Tyler Cameron. Like, that's the name of the cool kid in the movies from the 1980s.
I guess. I never thought about that one. But I guess I've always had they say never trust a guy with two first names. So I've gotten both ends of that one.
Yeah. I never trust a dude with two first names unless one of those names is a rich guy name. And then I trust him.
Yep.
Like, so I know dudes who have two first names. I don't like them. I don't trust them. But if one of the names, like Cameron's a rich dude's name.
It
changes everything. That means you're a cool dude. So it flips just like that. Do you think that you'd have this much sex appeal and fame and love around the world if your name were like Arnold Nansky, something like that?
I'm sure I could make Nansky sound good.
Arnold, though. The Arnold part, though.
The Arnold's the issue. Yeah. Right?
Come on. Arnold Schwarzenegger is quite a hot thing.
He had to get super huge muscles to do that.
True. Yeah. I mean, he had to be kind of a badass. Yeah. And he's also not American, so that helps. He's Austrian. Yeah,
I guess the accent was, too.
Yeah, the accent is good.
All right. So listen, fame is a funny thing. And you, as well as anyone, knows this, because one day you're in the airport and everything's fine and nobody knows you and you live your normal life and women smile at you and they flirt with you because you're good looking. You got a cool name. The next day, everybody looks at you. Everybody wants pictures with you. Everybody treats you differently because of a TV series. How strange was it for you when suddenly people were looking at you that you didn't know and they were talking to you and treating you a way that you weren't accustomed to?
It's definitely been an interesting process, or transition, I should say. But it's been a fun one. You know, everyone has been treated me so well and has been so gracious. So it's honestly been a great experience so far. I've had fun with all the fans, and I try to do things with the fans and for the fans. So I'm very grateful, to be honest.
What celebrity were you surprised to learn knew who you were or was a Tyler Cameron fan from The Bachelorette?
It was funny to see, some of the big names that were, talking about. Like, Jennifer Aniston said hi to me at the People's Choice Awards, and that threw me for a loop because, I mean, that's Jennifer Aniston. She's an angel.
Yeah.
You know? And so when I found out she was watching and she said, "Hey, how are you?" to me, I was kind of like, are you talking to me?
At number four, anyone that listens to 5 to 6 that knows Evan knows that he loves his family. Yeah, pretty into his job, but topping it all might be Tom Brady. And this year was a rough year for Evan because he had to say goodbye to number 12 in New England.
On a day where I realized it on my way in that I have been on the air here at ESPN West Palm since 2003. That is a really, really, really long time. And today is the first day that I have ever been on, ever, without Tom Brady, a member of the New England Patriots. It's a weird thing to say. It's a weird thing to think about. There is a chance, maybe a good one, that he actually plays in our state, not with the Dolphins, although I thought that for a little bit, but more likely the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But when you think about the 20 seasons that he played with the Pats, 6 Super Bowl wins, 4 Super Bowl MVPs, 9 Super Bowl appearances, 3-time MVP, 17 AFC East titles. It is the greatest run, arguably, in sports history by any player on any team. And while everyone has heard all of the rumors and everyone has thought about the fact that he could go somewhere else, and it's not like it's a shock here because they didn't have to cut him, they didn't have to trade him, none of that. They just simply had to allow him to walk away, or him allow them to separate from him, or them to allow, however you want to look at it. I don't have anger today. I don't have bitterness today. I'm not interested in putting the verses between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, or Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. I'm interested in putting the ands between the two, and I'll explain in a second. But I am truly thankful that I got to watch this. I'm truly thankful that I got to appreciate it for 20 years. 20 years. One player, one team, 6 titles. From 28-3 to the Malcolm Butler interception, to the Rams Super Bowl win, to the Eagles Super Bowl win in Jacksonville, the first Super Bowl I ever went to. Sorry, McLovin, the Tuck rule. This is the greatest football player to ever play. And I never in my lifetime thought I'd witness anything that would be similar to Michael Jordan. And the biggest compliment and biggest amount of praise and respect that I could give Tom Brady is to say that Tom Brady is the singular and only person that I could feel confident in using in the same sentence as Michael Jordan. It's weird. It is weird to sit here and do a show without Tom Brady on the New England Patriots.
At number 3, well, there was a number 3 that sort of brought a franchise down in Miami onto the map, and that was the Miami Heat. That was Dwayne Wade. The Miami Heat, though, they were back on the map this year with the finals run. Evan, quite a Heat fan. And we might have our future Heat star in Tyler Hero. And with you fans, Tyler Hero, well, he sort of took over the station.
McLovin, rolling up my sleeves. I'm going to get sweaty. I'm going to lose my voice. Play the damn music, will you please? Let's go! 3-1, baby! Give it to me! Let's go! Tyler Mother Bleepin' Hero! Oh, God, let's go! 37 on the bench last night! Tyler! Oh, Mike, you see it! Goodbye, Boston! 112-109! Last night, Heat! You can be my hero! Blast this! Let's go! Let's go! Louder for Tyler! From the floor, 5 of 10 from 3, 4 of 4 from the free throw line. Give it to me. Magic Johnson, he's coming for you, baby. 20 years old and younger, highest point total, second to Magic. That dude is cold. He is cold. There's nothing that rattles him. Nothing. Nothing. He could drop you on the off of, you know, a little crossover. He could have a no look, a deep three. He's got it all. That baby goat. Let's go, Tyler. Oh my God. Bradley Beal.
You wanted to come to the Heat? We know you went to the University of Florida. We know everybody loves you there. Uh-uh. Sorry. Nobody to give up. Tyler ain't going anywhere. He's our freaking hero. Tyler stays with us. He stays with us. Up 3-1. Up 3-1.
In the end, the Heat came up just short of an NBA title, but Evan's still appreciative of this run.
I am here to simply say thank you to this amazing team, to this amazing organization, for just an unbelievable few months of watching them and experiencing this in a time when everything seems to be wrong in this world. Everything seems to be worse than it used to be in this world. And yet the Miami Heat, since July and August, have been better than we thought they would be. While everyone else is worse, they got better. And we got to watch it, and we got to listen to it right here on ESPN 106.3, and we got to experience this unbelievable inspiration. The blood, sweat, and tears, the hardest working, most conditioned, all the stuff that the Heat say, it's true. Culture is a cliche word, but whatever it is that they have, you want as part of yourself and as part of your business, as part of your community, as part of your church, your temple, whatever it is they have, if you don't want to call it culture, whatever that is, you want it. I want it. We all want to apply it. We all want to make more of ourselves than we knew we were capable of being. And this is what this franchise does. This is what they showed us for the last few months. And this has been phenomenal to witness and inspirational to witness. Again, I am not here to celebrate. I'm here to simply say thank you to the Miami Heat and this phenomenal organization. And also thank you to you guys. Because throughout this entire run, and this is going to be the last day of probably of this. I mean, we'll have to do other stuff at some point here. But you guys have filled our phone lines at 888-760-3776, 888-760-ESPN. You have filled our phone lines every day with Heat love, Heat conversation, and it has been as enjoyable for me talking to you guys as it has been at any point in the last however many years doing this show, because the Heat fans have either been A1 since day ones or have been converted. People have been converted into this team, because how can you not love this group? How can you not love the new school basketball with the old school mentality, doing everything the right way? How can you not love this? How can you not love this? So thank you to all of you for participating.
Number two, well, we experience things just like each and every one of you listening, specifically quarantine. And for us, COVID-19 sort of hit the show early on with Dean Thomas finding out that he was testing positive while in Vegas about to take on a UFC trip. So we chatted with Dean about that experience.
And through the magic of, I guess, the Microsoft Teams, we're able to connect to the man who really is responsible for why we're all broadcasting from our homes, and that is our brother and teammate, Dean Thomas, who I know it's a radio show, but it appears he's in the midst of a hostage situation. Is someone keeping you in their basement? Is this kind of like Silence of the Lambs? Do you have to put the lotion in the basket? Dean, first of all, how are you feeling? And number two, where are you? And number three, why is it so dark like you're in a POW situation?
What was number one? How am I feeling? I'm feeling good. I've got no problems. I'm feeling good. Number two, where am I? I'm in Vegas. I'm still in the same hotel that I was a week and a half ago. I haven't left this hotel in a week and a half. I've had no sun, no human contact, nothing for a week and a half.
And how are you psychologically doing? Forget about physically. How psychologically are you doing with not opening the door, not having any human contact whatsoever?
I'm okay because of technology like this. I can still communicate with people, but on my own terms. So like when somebody starts getting on my nerves, I just hang up on them.
Fair enough. Dean Thomas is joining us. This is the first we've heard from you since you left to go. The last time you were with us, it was you and I and Brian in studio on the 2nd of July, and then you were leaving. So you flew from, what, Fort Lauderdale to Las Vegas?
I flew from West Palm.
Okay.
To Philly.
Okay.
To Las Vegas.
And then are you feeling any sickness at all? Did you
No.
feel like you're a cold, rundown, nothing?
Nothing.
And your driver takes you to the team hotel, the UFC Yeah. team hotel. Okay. So immediately, do you have to go for COVID testing?
Yeah, immediately we go for COVID tests. Yeah.
All right. So before you even go to your room, you have to go into, what do they ask you? They ask you about symptoms. They take your temperature. What?
Yeah, they take your temperature. My temperature was good. They asked me about symptoms. I said, I got nothing. And then they stuck the thing down my throat.
Okay, but well, let's get back to COVID testing. I don't want to talk about your free time in Vegas. Is your free time in Vegas?
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, I got you. Gotcha.
Yeah, they did a little swab. They did a little swab down the throat.
Oh, okay. So you do the swab thing, and then they give you the room key, and then you're told you're in your room for what, 2 days? 2 days straight?
Yeah, it was 1 day because we were supposed to leave the next day.
So you go to your room, you did your swab. How much longer was it before you were notified? You get a phone call, I imagine?
So I was in my room and I was chilling. I was ordering food and everything else. And then, so I'm like waiting the whole night to get, they said, if you don't get a call, you're good. So I didn't get a call in the night. And then I woke up in the morning and I saw that Jorge Masvidal had passed his test and his fight was good to go. And I still didn't get a call by then. So I was good at this point. Then what happened was Dana sent a text to all of us.
No, this said, is what? This is Sunday morning?
Yeah, Sunday morning. Dana he sent a text to us and said, Monday morning, Monday morning to me, Matt, and the producer, Rory.
Okay.
And he said, hey, Dean tested positive. I got to figure this out. And I thought he was joking.
So before they notified you, before your own medical information was given to you about a deadly disease, about a deadly virus, before you were made aware, Dana informed everybody on a group chat. So Rory Kauf, the producer of the reality show, may have known before you knew.
Yeah.
Wow. Cool. Okay. And so you thought Dana was joking. And then at what point did you realize, oh, my God, he's not joking?
Like yesterday.
Stop it.
I was like, you playing, right? And then he didn't say nothing. And then it was just like, it was a couple of hours before I actually realized he wasn't joking. One of the dudes from the team, UFC, called me and was talking to me. And then the doctor called me and was talking to me. And I was like, man, they really went in on this joke.
We also, I think part of quarantine, sort of synonymous with everyone early on, was Tiger King. And of course, we listen to Tiger King. And because this area is what this area is, Palm Beach County somehow, some way had a connection to the famed Netflix documentary.
Chuck and Hope Sound on ESPN 106.3. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, Evan. What's up?
What's up?
Hey, I'm going to be the one voice taking up for Carol on the Tiger thing.
Wow.
Oh, this is interesting. Okay, turn the music down for a second. All right. So you are going to. So let me hear you stick up for Carol. Go ahead.
Now, I didn't see the documentaries yet, but I know Carol a little bit, and I've spent a couple nights overnight at the Big Cat Sanctuary. And so Hold on.
Let me roll up my sleeves here for a second.
I'm not making this up.
Oh, I believe you. And McLovin, cancel anything else we have planned today.
This is our audience. We believe it.
Okay. So.
Hold on.
No. I'm gonna handle this. Hold on. Chuck. Hold on.
Okay.
What brought you to the Big Cat Rescue in Tampa?
My wife and I are kind of PETA people and had donated some money to her and visited one time. And then we went back and were able to stay overnight a few times. And I'm not saying she's not eccentric, and I'm not saying who has the capacity to kill somebody. She might have. I haven't seen the documentary. But I will say you really can't compare her facility to Joe Exotic's because – She doesn't breed the cats. She just takes them in. She has like the Ringling Brothers tigers retired from there.
So why did you decide to donate money to Carol and her Big Cat Rescue initially?
I think I saw first on TV Jack Hanna. You know who that is? He's kind of a big animal guy. And then what I read what she was doing, she was only taking in injured or mistreated animals. She's not breeding any of them. They're all fixed, and she's just retiring them to her place.
Did you have any idea during the four times that you visited Big Cat Rescue that there was a chance that she may have murdered her ex-husband?
No, I actually didn't know about her ex-husband until last week when I started reading about the show. And then a lot of my friends have seen the show already and said, well, you better watch this. And well, yeah. So I'm not saying it's anything's possible. And, you know, she is a little eccentric, but I just think she does mean well. She doesn't abuse the animals. She does no breeding. It's just it's actually like a retirement village, you know, for cats.
Would you consider visiting there again? Would you go back and visit again?
I'll have to watch the Netflix first.
Oh, so you're at least open-minded to knowing that you may have four times unknowingly visited and supported someone that may have killed their ex-husband. Right. You may have actually supported the murder of him. I don't know if you know that.
And when it comes to raising kids, obviously a little bit different in 2020, but we still threw a quarantine birthday, which somehow Ken LaVica became the star of early on this year.
All right, let's get right to the important stuff. Yesterday was Sean Rowitz's fourth birthday.
His party, yes.
His party. He had a virtual party.
That he did.
So what do? You Zoom call his little
friends? Yeah, we did a Zoom call. There were about five of us. It was a superhero theme. So we had like a scavenger hunt. We played some bingo. It was a good time.
Very
it was
nice. Great. So that's right. Take me to the bingo part. You played bingo. Everyone had bingo cards.
Yeah, so I dropped off cards at everyone's houses outside of it. And then I called it like, you know, hey, it's, you know, Superman logo or the Batman mask or things like that.
So this was fun.
Yeah, it was. And I sent everyone little crackers.
Yeah, we had superhero graham crackers.
Yep.
Honey made graham crackers. Crackers to put on
now,
the board.
Now, did your kids understand what was happening, Ken? LaVica?
Kind of.
My two-year-old was more interested in actually eating the graham crackers than putting them on the card.
Hell yeah. Graham crackers are delicious.
Yeah, so they really are.
15 of them.
Graham crackers are delicious.
They are.
But read the nutritional. You're like, that's not, it's like a cookie.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Whatever.
It's not good for me.
No, not at all.
Close enough.
No.
They try to trick you.
So you played bingo on this.
Yes, that was part of it, yes.
So Ken, I understand that you were not just celebrating, but apparently taunting the children because you won at bingo?
Well, I won. And as McLovin, who is running the bingo game, can attest to, it took a while for anybody to get bingo.
Yeah, it really did. I don't know why.
And I have a feeling it's because they were three-year-olds who didn't know how to read their bingo card.
Oh, they don't know the letters.
And they, yeah.
They were logos. They were like pictures of like superhero logos. Stuff.
Oh. But they didn't understand the rules of bingo.
Right.
So instead of like B12, it was like, okay, Aquaman.
Yeah, so like everyone's card had the same logos on it. They were just mixed up. Obviously, and we were just playing
it
for
was
a straight
like
line.
Captain America's shield,
yeah.
Flash mask, like stuff like. I finally was able to on Cyborg. I never seen Cyborg before. I didn't know much about Cyborg.
Cyborg is a superhero or a villain.
I don't know.
But you really don't know. You're throwing the party.
I don't know enough about it though. Here's a picture.
He called for Cyborg, and I put the cookie on it, and realized I had bingo, and I was excited that someone finally won,
so
and it was me. And so I yelled yes, and then we're all on Zoom calls. I ran around my living room and into my kitchen, and then back and pumped my fist and made sure everyone knew that I won.
It was like he scored a soccer goal.
Yeah.
You felt the need. So you understand there's no skill involved. There's no strategy involved. There's no
Zero.
Skill involved. You just happen to have the card that was luckiest for this game. Or the children don't know what superhero is what because they're three.
I do think that's probably most likely the scenario and what took place. But
why did you feel the need to let everyone know, as you said, that you had won?
I need to show my kids what being competitive looks like. I want them to be winners.
You're a jackass.
And champions, okay? Mm-hmm. And so when you win, you make sure everybody knows that you won.
Wow.
And at number one, the top moment of 2020, we got real. It was obviously a lot going on in this country in this year, and a lot had to do with racial injustice. And one of the benefits we have on these shows is we're able to have those open lines of discussions, and that's what we did throughout the year on ESPN 106.3 with you, the fan, and really, real life.
Let's go to the phones for your comments, your questions, or your education. Let's go to Brad in Jupiter. You're on the home team on ESPN 106.3. Hi, Brad.
Good afternoon, Josh. First of all, I wanted to thank you and your team for encouraging this discourse. It certainly needs to happen. I want to thank you for positivity you spread on the internet and through the radios. It's needed in this world right now, so thank you for that. Secondly, I want to say
thank
this.
You.
I'm angry, I'm hurt, I'm upset, and I'm white. You know what I mean? I can't imagine how Dean, I can't imagine how my friends of color feel. I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea what it's like for them, and that upsets me and that hurts me, and it hurts me to see
and to hear the way that people try to flip the conversation and put it into a different situation and put it on something that is not the fundamental issue here. Yes, this is about race. Certainly, it's always been about race. No one, anyone who says it's not about race, you're wrong and you're looking at the wrong thing. But and a more important, it's about human rights. It's about kindness. It's about empathy. It's about putting yourself in someone else's shoes. And those are the things that that's what really makes this country great. I was texting with my friend this morning, and he's a black man, and he sent me a message saying just that he was angry, saying that he was upset, saying that he needed to speak to his friends of color right now and not to take offense to it. And I didn't take offense to it, but I called him and I said, I need to hear your voice, man. I don't want to text this stuff to you. I need to hear your voice. And this man has a booming, powerful voice, man. This man is a real man. And he sounded broken. Mm-hmm. And he said, man, and he's older than me, you know, I don't know his age, but he grew up in the 60s. And he said, it feels like Back to the Future. He said, it feels like all of this stuff is coming up again that I went through, that I witnessed, and that my family fought against and fought. And I get so frustrated and I'm so upset. And I posted something about how the NBA postponed the games and then LeBron changed it to, I'm sorry, asterisk, boycott. And I said, yeah, you're right, boycott. You're right, LeBron, that's what it really is. And then someone, you know, got on this selfish players, how could they do this? They make millions for playing with the ball. And I said, that's exactly right. Look at that. They are the ones that you know, they're the ones that you see, and they're willing to risk it all. They're willing to risk everything based on principle and something that they believe in. And that, you know, regardless of how you feel about them or whatever they're standing up for, you have to look at someone who's willing to stand behind their principles and admire that. My entire last point is this. They don't care about you and whether you watch the game, the players. They could care less whether you watch the games because most of the time their checks are getting paid. You know who they care about? They care about the billionaire people that pay their paychecks. And they have an opportunity to affect change in them and to say, look, if you don't stand up for us and speak for us, then we're not going to do this anymore. And you need to use your political power and your sway to speak for us and to make this right. They could care less whether or not you're watching the game. All the internet trolls out there making comments about selfish. They don't care about whether you're watching the game. They don't. That doesn't change their paycheck. So get over yourself, put yourself in someone else's shoes, and start to care about someone.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that.
JD in West Palm on ESPN 106.3. What's up, JD?
First of all, I just want to say thank you for bringing this conversation to light. I think this conversation is very necessary, extremely overdue. And I know a lot of people need to hear this. And for that reason, again, I'm extremely thankful. Just a little background. I am a black male. I grew up in Broward County in a predominantly black neighborhood. Very early on, I had to figure out who I was and kind of had to figure out and understand, you know, where my place is, you know, within this nation. My experience as a young black male was, I'm pretty sure, very different from, you know, other kids, where my parents had to always tell me, you know, when the sun comes down, you need to be in. You can't play with little water guns. You can't do this. And it was really just them trying to protect me. I didn't understand that, though. These little experiences, you know, graduated to, you know, other experiences as I got older. And these experiences, you know, would have to do with police and my interactions with them, you know, from getting pulled over and whatever, you know, not really getting in trouble, but just getting, you know, just little interactions. Anyone can come, you know, across. You know, as they're maturing and becoming an adult. And through these interactions, you know, I see the way that I was being handled in the ways that, you know, that are a little unfair, in my opinion. And I felt like they were geared towards my race, my opinion. And I really thought about the gentleman that was talking earlier when he was quoting that Tupac Shakur earlier when he was saying that, you know, Tupac said, you know, if there's food in a room and there's some people behind it, they know they have that. You know, you knock on the door, you're hungry. Your stomach is touching your back, more or less. You're like, hey, let me get a piece of food. You know, you're like, oh, no, there's nothing in there, but I can see them. I can smell the food. But you tell me nothing's in there, you close the door. You know, you come back the next time, and he's just like, hey, man, come on, please, or, you know, whatever, whatever. And, you know, it's the same thing. Like, nah, man, there's nothing here for you. And then the next time he's just like, okay, you know what? I'm growing irritable. You know, I'm a person too. You need food. I need food too. So now it's survival kicks in. Survival kicks in, and survival saying like, nah, man, like I'm not gonna sit here and die. I gotta do something. Like if this food is in here, you're not gonna give it to me. I'm gonna go through other means to get that food. And that's parallel to kind of where we're at right now. You know, the experiences that I'm having, I bought that, I said all that to kind of say this. You know, these experiences that I've had growing up, you know, that's that knocking on the door. You know what I mean? And it's that, you know, being shut down in so many different ways from opportunities, you know, that we're well qualified for, but we can't get because, you know, we look a certain way. And the other person who's less qualified will get it because maybe his dad works in there. You know, his dad got pulled. So all these experiences you take and you walk around with them, you hold them, you know, you hold on to them. So then now, you know, that's just your personal experience. But then now you also got to watch, and I've seen this growing up myself too, where I see, you know, cops, they're in our neighborhoods. They don't live in our neighborhoods. They don't understand our neighborhoods, but yet they choose to police us in a certain type of way. And I'm seeing these emotional traumas that I've seen growing up every single day. You know what I mean? So
no, you know, wait, JD, the answer is no. I don't know what you mean. And I know you're saying that as kind of like just to go from one point to the next, but I wanted to interrupt you for this reason. I don't know what you mean because I didn't grow up that way because I am a white guy that can, and I'm not going to sit here and claim that I can relate, and it's tragic. Do you know what I mean now? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not fair that because of the color of your skin, you're treated worse than me because of the color of my skin. That is not right. So when you say, do you know what I mean? I want to answer you honestly and say, no, I actually don't.
You know, I really do appreciate that. I really do.
So there you have it, the top 10 moments here on ESPN West Palm in 2020. Check it out on Twitter at ESPN West Palm, on Instagram as well, and SoundCloud.com/ESPN West Palm for all of those moments. We thank you guys for being a part of this year and letting us sort of help you get back to normal and just being a part of your day as we all experience what was an odd year. And hopefully 2021 will bring a little bit more happiness across the nation. Thank you all for listening. I'm Brian McLovin-Rowitz, and this has been the best of ESPN 106.3.